Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
We are back, baby. We are back.
Oh. And better than ever after the Lions 24-14 ass kicking in Lambeau. You would have thought this game, the Lions were the outdoor team and the Packers were the dome team. No, sir. We are getting everything about this game and react to it all. But before we do, let's introduce the Boo Kool-Aid crew that is here. I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Greetings and salutations.
And Red Dog.
Yo.
And producer Kid Jay is off to the side. He might be chiming in every once in a while throughout the podcast. All right. So, gentlemen, the Lions win this game 24-14. Arguably, you know, like a late touchdown by the Packers makes that score look a little nicer. But this is just a very efficient, very error-free game from the Lions overall compared to what we saw from the Packers side of things. Jordan Love throws that yet another incredibly bad, dumb decision by him. It seems like he's got like a Will Levis in him where he just like makes one really dumb play a game that costs them the game.
It's almost Kirby like Jones- he's still a young quarterback and hasn't been granted great status from a few flashes here and there.
Yeah, and he only played 8 games and then got a $50 million a year. Not too bad. Not too bad of a deal for
him.
And
people are ranking him ahead of Jared Goff to start the season.
They were. Yeah. Well, I think Jared Goff is proving any of those doubters wrong this year. 28 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Well, the Lions' team, 28 touchdowns the last 5 games, only 25 incompletions. Pretty crazy what's going on with this offense right now. Just the efficiency and all those things. But, yeah, I mean, this is just the Lions looked like they were ready to play in the elements versus the Packers. The Packers mishandled, like, 4 snaps, I believe, throughout this game as well, in addition to the bad decision by Jordan Love. They dropped 3 passes as well that were, like, right in the breadbasket. I mean, just a lot of things the Lions just looked better at. This wasn't a clean, not their best game by any means, but the elements kind of played into that a little bit, but this is just a team that is ready to win anywhere at any time, just like Dan Campbell foretold it many moons ago.
Well, I was having a conversation with my Green Bay Packers friend, and the first thing he said to me was, and what you just brought up there, Z, was that the Lions just played mistake-free football, and they really did pretty much. I mean, if you take away Branch's little indiscretion there with the 2 penalties he drew, I think we had 3 penalties on the day, if I'm not mistaken.
And his ejections.
So super efficient play by our team. I mean, just really disciplined, way more disciplined than the Packers were. And like you said, man, they were just ready to play in this weather. Like, it didn't matter. And Campbell, you ask Campbell about it. He says, it doesn't matter. I don't know. This team, it doesn't matter where we play. And they really believe that. So that whole weather thing is a bunch of crock. Anyway, I think.
Rudd, what do you think of the Lions in this game? Just your reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I think something dawned on me watching that game is we haven't played a team as good as us yet in this year. And not really even close. I mean, well, like you said, it wasn't our best game, but it was just stone cold, efficient, effective, dominating football. And that's what this team is. They're not playing, you know, they're having fun. They're getting chippy and stuff, but it's not like a sense of like, oh, it's the Packers. We got to go fight. It's like, no, we're going to go and like just stomp on these guys and then, you know, teabag them a little bit too. And like, that's just everybody. They're coming in with just badass edge. It's like they cultivate an edge from their sheer grit and determination and gritty practicing and focus the details. And that edge is just being an excellent football team. When some flawed football teams replace an Aiden Hutchinson, they'll say, oh, it's a whole team effort. Well, in this case, it's been a whole team effort. And this whole team has ascended despite losing such a piece and, you know, several pieces for that matter. We lose Branch. It don't matter. The band marches on and this team is just keep on marching.
Yeah. I just want to throw in one more thing though. I think this team's utterly fearless. And with Campbell just bringing like our two touchdowns were scored on fourth down. I mean, come on. I mean, who wasn't saying kick the field goal in that first drive, right? To tie the game with the Packers, you know?
Me.
But and Campbell just, nah. I mean, he didn't even think twice. Nah, we're going for it. I mean, he just doesn't even think twice about that stuff. Yeah. And the team is the same way. They just don't care. They're not thinking like that. They're just fearless. And I love that edge. That's an edge they have over every other team right now.
Well, Bob just joined the podcast here too. Bob. I'm going to throw it right over here and put you right on the spot right when you come in. Greet your reactions to this game.
Yeah.
Instant reactions.
Oh, instant reaction to the game? Oh, it was an incredible game. The Lions are asserting their dominance like on the Packers now. What is that, 3 in a row at Lambeau? What a change from the years before that. All those where it was terrible to go into Lambeau, but now it's like they look forward to it. Even with the...
Right, the Lions lost 25 straight at Lambeau at one point.
You mean our second home?
Yeah. Did you see that meme going around where it's like new management at Lambeau Field and they put the Lions stuff around the stadium?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. But the game was really fun. And the Lions played their style of football and can't be happier. I mean, bummed about the way they did Branch dirty in that game.
Yes.
Especially the game in the night game was the Vikings. I think there was a hit very similar to that.
That wasn't even the worst one. And, the worst one of the day was the Panthers safety on Chris Olave. A much worse hit. A guy that has been flagged for it 12 times throughout his career. And he did not get ejected. And he sent Olave to the hospital. Okay. The Packers it was fine. Ludicrous. That.
And well, that's Tom Brady was criticizing it. Now he's getting in trouble for criticizing.
Because he's an owner. He's an owner of the Raiders. You can't criticize it. But
that's ridiculous. He's an announcer.
The theory I hear floating around is that this is like it was an attention thing. Like New York doesn't give a shit about Panthers and that, you know, that the slum teams. It was the primetime game, the America's Game of the Week, and all that. So, like, it got the
that
extra
was what
attention.
Campbell's. That was Campbell's theory.
Oh, that was Campbell's. I thought I heard it somewhere else too. Yeah, but Campbell's.
I have another theory. I have another theory. Campbell went to the ref and said, "Take him out.
Yeah. Tie a hand behind my back.
I want to put our backs against the wall a little bit here and pep, you know, get these guys going."
I like that one.
It's my theory.
He likes to make it harder, not easier, for his team to win.
That's right. And they rose the occasion.
They sure as hell did. It's almost like the occasion didn't, like, nothing changed, honestly. It was like...
It was like nothing changed.
It just kept going on, doing their thing.
Yeah.
Defense, I mean, man. Yeah.
This wasn't, like, by any means, like, the defense's best game of the year. There was a lot of long drives, but they held it down when they needed to. The first drive of the game seemed to go on forever. 14 plays by the Packers, 8 minutes. Yeah. But they end up giving up a field goal.
Yeah.
They get tight in the red zone.
Opportunistic defense.
Wait, hold on. What is that, Red Dog?
And so they tighten up like crazy in the red zone.
Yes, he did.
Like, they're hard. I mean, just in general, this team, this defense does that. Like, that's kind of their thing. They bend a bit, but they just don't break too easy. I mean, it's hard to score touchdowns against our defense.
Very true. Bob, yeah. You were saying something?
Sure. No, I was just going to say that they're like an opportunistic defense. They'll make big plays to, like, the interception that Kirby had. Yeah. What a game changer that is, you know? I mean,
yes.
That's what this defense does, though, now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, they feel like a wet blanket. Kind of suffocating. It's over your face. Yeah.
Well, you know, even without losing some of our stars, we still got some stars running around out there. Campbell's playing his best football of his career.
I
get that,
but I like it.
He's playing
13 tackles in this game.
And a couple of good pass defenses, too, I thought. And, I mean, Anzalone, our linebackers are playing really well backing up this line. And this middle of our line is still playing pretty good. It's just our ends. We're just not getting that rush, you know. And quarterbacks are getting a little too much time. But everywhere else, we seem to be playing pretty well in this defense. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah.
They've been able to make up the lack of pressure from the
Levi Reeder and Aleem make up for, you know, they're doing a great job of keeping that, like, core of our defensive line together and being firm up the middle, getting some pressure.
They're a little especially early on in the game, some of the run defense was a little suspect to start out this game. Yeah. Say at least the Packers.
I know. Did Jacobs get 100 yards? Because
he
was on pace. No, because the Lions haven't given up a 100-yard rusher for a long time. I don't know what the stat was, but
that's excellent.
He was on
most
pace to do it.
First half too.
So that's good.
Yeah, 95 that's yards. Awesome.
I mean, I feel like Pascal coming back could make up for some of that run. You know, like he's a runner.
Yes.
We need a real – that's what I'm talking about. But, I mean, he both run and pass, honestly. But, like, he's definitely a force in there. And then, you know, we just are missing our heavy edge. We didn't, you know, we were down to literally like line. Like, honestly, one of the things I've been wanting to mention is I love this game for James Houston, not because he played great, but this is the shit we need him to do. We need him to get reps. Like, we need him. This live action was perfect. Good. Like, I want to see that guy to continue to get reps, and I think we'll see his talent emerge again. And he showed some flashes in there. Like,
I disagree on that. I think we need less James Houston.
I think I had pressure
We need him for now, but I think he was a fluke. You know, I think whatever he did is.
I mean, there's a reason he's on the bubble despite his performance. I mean, he's just atrocious in run defense. You can't put him out there on first down. They will attack him.
He needs reps. He's
if you're one trick pony and you're not doing your one trick, that doesn't bode well for you.
Look, he's still on this team. He's part of this roster. Dan
and
Campbell
he's just a pony.
In him, and he needs reps. This is perfect. This is why I love
but he's
it.
Had he reps the reps past few him. Weeks. He hasn't done much with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, more. Well, you think few? Like, he does. I mean, he's making an effect
more
out there.
More reps.
Yes, more reps. Keep the young guys learning and growing.
Cowbells.
This is perfect. We win without needing, you know, topping guys. Like, where we can develop some guys. I mean, I love it. Like, the fact that I think he's going to come back. I think
he's in for 36 plays this week. 36.
That's great. He got a hit on the quarterback. I'm ready to see what he can do.
He's a warm body out there.
Yeah, I mean, he looked largely ineffective.
I'll remember this, Bob, when we're talking about James Houston's double digit sacks at the end of the season.
Is he a Hall of Famer like Quintez Cephas?
I'm not ready to go Hall of Famer yet, but you know, I think he's going to be an effective player for this team.
You put Quintez Cephas in there, so
time on the field only helped. Well,
he
needs time. He needed time in there, and that's what he could never get. Like, because he kept getting injured. With Houston, he's finally healthy. Give the man a chance to develop. Yeah. The problem is his curve got accelerated in everyone's mind because he had that such a flashy start when he came out that year. Like, and so now everyone's expectations are ridiculous. The guy never got a chance to develop. This is his chance. This is the time. We're in his developmental window, and he's got a chance to really show himself. And guess what? He's on an elite Detroit Lions defense right now. So, obviously, Dan Campbell believes in him, so you guys just have shit takes. So that's all I took.
He's like he's like a band that's like a one-hit wonder
And they keep playing this song, and it won't go away.
Do you have, like, a James Houston pinup in your locker or something?
Life.
Like, He sounds like you're.
He pulled me from a car.
I don't know, but he's not all that. I'm sorry. We've seen enough of him. I mean, if we have him now, and we, you know, he's available.
Whatever.
Until we can get somebody better.
Ooh. But,
yeah. What do you think, Zach?
He's the
do you
problem.
Think he's gonna
no,
be?
I mean, I agree. I don't think he's not effective out there at all right now. He's definitely not effective in the run game, and he's not effective. Yeah, if you see him out there, he's not like getting double teamed. He's in constant one-on-one pass rush, and he's not winning. So I'm not sure what Rud Dog you see in him right now. That's a great. He doesn't have pass rush moves. That's what I said in the past couple podcasts. He's he had the low bend that people can pick up on last year, but now the tackles just ride him out down to the ground.
Since he injured his leg or whatever, he's never been the same. Yeah. And he's just never had that same effectiveness.
I mean, we hope we're wrong, Rud Dog, but
I hope he gets double-digit sacks. I don't see it happening, though.
You just rather be negative Nancy's about him.
Double-digit sacks? I want him to get half a sack
before we
get there.
I believe.
So how about that secondary?
Thanks, Huge.
Outstanding.
Good Lord.
The secondary?
Let's get off James Houston here.
Yeah, we're moving on to our secondary. Carlton Davis played a really good game.
Thank you.
Carlton Davis really stepped up. Terron Arnold, he had a solid game. And we even saw Rick Stroud out there had a couple plays.
Yeah.
Big pass.
Amik Robertson, he's getting a little chippy out there. But I like that the way the defense plays, and the coaches are just like, let them guys do their stuff, man. If they get some penalties along the way, that's just part of the territory because they want them aggressive.
Can anyone see what Amik did?
It's working.
For his unsportsmanlike, basically gave up the touchdown.
Yeah, that was a stupid.
What did he
timing
do
for that?
Did anyone see?
I didn't really see.
It looked like he kind of just like did like a something like to the sideline, and they just flagged him.
Yeah, I thought he was taunting or something. I can't remember.
Taunting seems like
was that
such
the one
a,
after
a
the was it after the ejection?
It cost him.
Was it after the ejection?
They were ready to. I'm not sure.
I'm trying to remember what
these
happened.
Taunting calls are so soft though. They're so damn soft. Like what did Amon Ra got one for like. Wiggling his finger at someone or something like it's just what are we doing here?
Well, I didn't know if it was him or I think it was Brian Branch that flicked off the Green Bay sideline.
No, I'm not talking about Branch.
It was Brian.
I'm talking
Branch.
About Amon Ra.
I love
about,
it.
No, Branch.
Branch is just having a day.
I love the way where Branch went off, and I'll take that 15-yard penalty for that flipping off the crowd. I mean, like
well earned.
It was worth it, man. It's just the whole situation is terrible. It's like. He was pissed, and I don't blame him. But
yeah, especially the way that the NFL just cannot officiate consistently. And
what did Amon Ra get called for on his unsportsmanlike after the touchdown?
I don't remember him getting called on one. Did he? That's that stupid
celebration.
No, after
the celebration, he got called for taunting. I think. Like,
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Man, I'm thinking about
that celebration was awesome.
Yeah, great celebration on his touchdown. And how about just what is so great about like Dan Campbell and this Lions team and how they operate. And you talk about mistake free football and things of that nature, but they're just thinking ahead of these people. Like, and so first of all, people in the league, they have the reputation. They go for it on fourth down. So the Packers are going out there when the Lions go out there on fourth down thing, and they're probably going to run a play here because this is just what they do. But I don't think that was the Lions' intention. I think they were just going to go out there and see if they could draw them off sides. And because either way, it's a chip shot field goal, right? Even if they don't get it. And they get them to jump off sides. I think Ragnow had something a little bit to do with that, like a little trickery, if you will, just the way he kind of moved his head in a legal way. Get them to jump off sides, get the ball up 2.5 more yards, and then set themselves up for a touchdown. Just little things like that that are... That's what wins you games in the NFL.
So you think they didn't intend to score a touchdown there?
I don't think they were going to go for it on the fourth and from the five. No.
Oh.
Oh. Did you guys? I got in a little late here, but did you guys mention Amon Ra's touchdown? That route was sick.
It was.
That was like crazy. His body.
A great pass from Jared Goff in the rain in the elements on that one.
Oh yeah,
that's a tough pass.
All around great play.
Goff continues his just ultra efficient play. He's just he's just taking what's there. I mean, and he's just being great at it. I mean, it's unbelievable. Plus, he's got these receivers that just don't drop anything. They're there, and they're open. Just, I don't know. It's just so much fun to watch. I can't even.
Yeah. What does Amon-Ra have 30 in a row he's caught from?
30 in a row. 30 targets and 30 catches. That's insane. They said the odds of that are one in like 17 yeah. billion or something.
Yeah, based on the difficulty of each route. I saw that.
I did not. Oh, wow. That's insane. I did not even realize it. I mean, this offense just keeps breaking all
I forget
sorts
what
the records and things of that nature. Yeah.
Incredible. We got to come up with a nickname.
The offense?
And they haven't even.
Come on. We need to come up. Yeah.
The Great Plow. I don't know.
We shut that one down.
You know, the greatest show on turf. That's
I can only
thinking
think of one offense that, was, that had a name. Yeah. That was the greatest show on turf. Does anyone know another one? Like, I feel like defenses tend to get the names. Like,
we can be the greatest turf show. The greatest.
I don't know.
The Motor City Machine. The Motor City Machine.
Let us know.
Whoa, that's. Interesting.
I kind of like that one because it's like has to do with the city and the car manufacturer, but also they're just so efficient. I don't know. I kind of like.
It's kind of the whole team though. That's you know you're not.
How about the Goffense?
I mean, we do get Jared Goff chance at Lambeau Field these Goffense. Days, so it might be fitting at least.
well, my favorite one is the Motor City Machine.
Back on Goffense, but,
anyways,
that's because you coined it. Right,
the mean Motor City Machine, MMM.
Yeah,
he gets residuals if we start using it.
Yeah,
definitely.
And then Eminem will endorse it because it's his initials.
Mm. See, look what we're doing there.
There you go. It's
all right. Yeah. So yeah, Amon-Ra 7 catches on 7 targets, 56 yards, and his touchdown. But the run game is still what rues the day here. Montgomery, nice and efficient throughout this game. 17 carries, 73 yards. Gibbs, 11 for 65. It's just amazing how these guys always end up like even in the stack category every game, despite their two different styles of running.
It is amazing.
They held on.
Gibbs
to the ball.
Has just ridiculous no efficiency, right? His yards per carry are like a good yard or two higher, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 6.5 yards a carry or something less. How many
and
games?
I shared this with you, UJ, when we were watching the game, but Jahmyr Gibbs, he hits the line of scrimmage at 11.3 miles per hour on average. And the average NFL running back hits it at 9.2. So if you just want to know the difference in his explosiveness out of the backfield and
it's
his ability
so
to hit
sick.
That's just like a, you know, a few. Tenths of a second difference, but that is the difference between exploding through the hole and getting down at 2 yards.
On that touchdown run, you see it like the left side of the second, like the linebackers, like they're not blocked. He's just by them before they even realize. Like it's so dirty.
Yeah. Hey, there was a great thing LaPorta mic'd up last week. It was the game where he had the 70-yard run, and LaPorta, you know, had a nice block on that play. And then he makes the block and he sees Gibbs cut up and you can hear him mic'd up go, God, is he fast? Like, he just like can't believe how fast Gibbs is. Like he sees him all the time and he just
because he doesn't go full speed at practice.
On the field, you know. That's just incredible. That guy is incredible.
But we should trade him for Myles Garrett along with half of our future draft picks for perpetuity.
That was the dumb trade proposal.
The dumbest trade proposal ever conceived. Oh.
No,
not that
stupid trade thing, but no, the fact that they
It seemed like it was pretty much close to a done deal for Za'Darius Smith, the Browns DN that we've mentioned on this podcast a few times. But yeah, nothing yet. Maybe the Browns are still holding out to see if they can get a better deal elsewhere.
Lions are trying to seem desperate in any way, shape, or form either.
People are talking about Election Day tomorrow, but the real story is the NFL trade deadline is tomorrow.
That's right.
You know, priorities.
I think a deal gets done, whether it's for him or somebody else. I think they're going to.
Oh, yeah.
I have a weird, strange feeling that Holmes has come up with a.
I know, or Myles Garrett. I've had
zero,
that feeling.
0 hour, man. I don't know. It's just. I don't know why.
Did you see that report that they did call about him? They did.
And the Raiders suck. They're just
they just fired their offensive coordinator, who was the offensive coordinator of the Bears last year. He didn't even make it a full year with the Raiders. Every Bears fan could have told you that was going to happen.
The Crosby one.
But I don't know. It's just
all right, gents. I'm sorry I got in late and I have to leave early. So, all right.
Bob.
It's sorry.
All right, Bob.
While you're sorry about that, consider your stance on Houston and, you know, mull it over. Yeah. I think you'll.
Yeah. All right. All right, see you guys later.
All right. Take care, Bob.
Well, anyways.
I just don't know if we're going to be the kind of team these teams want to trade with, because I don't think we're going to give them the, like, foundational resources to do their rebuild, because that's what these guys would be if they trade them. If you're training a Myles Garrett or Max Crosby, you're looking for buku resources to begin your roster rebuild on. And that's just not us, I don't think.
Call it a hunch that just Holmes is going to come up with something. Like, something.
Well, there's a lot of teams that are kind of out of the playoff race at this point. If you didn't see, like, pretty much a third of the league has two wins, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Didn't the Bengals just win? I would have said Trey Hendrickson might be intriguing, but I doubt
they're trading. That was a name thrown out there. But it's crazy. The Panthers, Saints, Giants, New England Patriots, Raiders, the Jaguars, the Browns, the Dolphins, and the Titans all have two wins. And they're all pretty much three games out of the playoffs at this point.
Like,
probably looking to
Arden Key or that other guy they have.
Trayvon Walker. The problem with the Jaguars is they have, like, a GM and a coach that are probably on their way out. So I don't know how inspired they are to make a trade at this point for the future. Otherwise, that might be a more viable option. Because, I mean, those guys are going to be out the door anyways. They don't care about what happens next year.
Have they been fired yet, though?
No.
Maybe they'll be like, we make these great moves and we got all these resources. Don't you want us to see what we do with them?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know how that would.
Not in their case, at least.
I don't know, but is there a gut? You guys have any gut feeling?
I've had a weird feeling. Something.
I'm with
you,
dude.
I have a similar gut feeling that something a little bigger, like Za'Darius Smith, would be a nice piece, but it doesn't exactly move the needle all that much for me. Like, it doesn't get me super excited, but it would be nice. But, like,
I just
have a feeling something a little bigger is going to come than that as well.
The other name I
can
think
of is Max or Myles Garrett, but.
The other name I can maybe see is Azeez Ojulari from the Giants. He has six sacks on the year. They're out of the running. I think he
Arden
is.
Key?
I need to look at his Ojulari. I gotta look at his contracts to see where he's at. That's a name that we haven't really talked
about. He's a free agent at the end of the year, Zach.
He's a free agent at the end of the year, according to our producer Kid J. So, I mean, he has six sacks on the year. He's pretty effective. He's more of like a Sam edge rusher, if I recall.
Which we could use.
Actually watch him. But we could use any pass rush, really. But either way, I think that might
be quite literally Sam
pop up here that we necessarily haven't talked about. Harold Landry was another one that we floated out there a while ago.
Landry,
I really heard much on that front at all.
Arden Key or Harold Landry. Neither of them. I haven't heard anything since we played them.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I do think they make some sort of move.
But wouldn't it be amazing if they, like, this whole time it's like, Za'Darius Smith is going to the Lions. Za'Darius Smith's going to the Lions. And it's like, well, wait, they weren't talking to the Browns about Za'Darius Smith. They got Myles Garrett.
I think there is some pressure to make a big move, though, because, you know, I know what our philosophy is, and we don't want to give up the house for anybody or anything like that. But you talk about a Super Bowl window, man. We are freaking in it. This team right now is arguably, not even arguably,
in my mind,
the best team in the NFL. This is our Super Bowl, baby. There's nothing stopping this team right here except themselves. And, you know, that's why I kind of see a move somewhere, somehow.
No, I'm with
you.
There's a move coming. A move is happening. It's just a matter of what.
Yeah, I just don't think we're any of the top tier guys like maybe we're hoping. I mean, Myles Garrett would be amazing, but I just don't
like a Za'Darius Smith and like an Azeez Ojulari or whatever could be like exciting. Something
that would
like
be
that.
Really exciting at both.
You know, get a couple middle guys instead of a big top guy.
Yep, but I don't think the Lions are interested in mortgaging the future like, you know, the Rams did, for instance. That does not seem to be in the cards for Brad Holmes.
I don't want
to
do that either.
I think there's, like, a balancing point there. Like, I think you put, like, the next two first-rounders and, like, a second or something, like, against the Myles Garrett for a couple years with Aiden Hutchinson. And, like, I don't think you're exactly mortgaging the future if you consider you're probably not going to want to pay those contracts for a while anyway. Like, you're going to need the space. And with those two, you could probably afford to slack just a little bit somewhere else on the roster because that would generate such immense defense for you.
Miles Garrett and Hutch on one team would be – it's the same dream that we have about
that would be
Hutch and Crosby on the team.
Right, it's the same thing. But
either one of those guys. I think the alternative is maybe we hypnotize Pascal into thinking he is Miles Garrett. And then he will suddenly just be amazing. Because Campbell could probably do it, like, take him in the room and, hey, brother, and then, like, and put something in front of him, like, and hypnotize him. And Pascal will walk out of the room believing he is.
It'll be really confusing when he goes to do, like, the punches and his arms are, like, 6 inches shorter. And he's like, what the heck? Why am I reaching? I didn't consider the hypnotism route, UJ. That's ingenious. You know, I think that is the kind of thing Dan and Brad would try.
Hey, no holds barred, baby. Super Bowl or bust.
Granted, you know, supposedly we've been getting some tests against our current roster, and we've been holding up pretty well.
I mean,
our pass rush clearly could be improved, but.
Yeah, just a lot. I mean, a lot of credit to what Aaron Glenn is doing with this defense. They just seem to really know what. How to operate, I guess, and communicate and be in the right place at most times.
And we just have so much talent at every level. Even still on the D-line, we got three studs. We just could use a few more.
Lee McNeil had a nice hit on Jordan Love that probably stopped a big play from happening.
He was playing excellent. He was maybe he wasn't getting sacks, but he was constantly causing issues in that front. He looked really good out there, I thought.
Yeah, Meek Robertson stepped up in a big way. They were targeting him throughout the game. It helps when they have a few drops that just go right through their hands. But, you know, that's what
– He was a little
– Good teams don't drop them. So.
Yeah, a little bit of a mismatch on that Christian Watson play. The speed was there. Yep. He just couldn't cover that height difference.
Right.
Yeah. Well, even on that Rakestra play where he was in the game, he had that guy covered like a blanket. It was just
he got beat just a little bit.
Pass and catch. I mean, just ridiculous.
It was good.
Yeah, it was just a ridiculous play by the receiver.
See, another great thing is I just love that we're getting this like depth experience in these players. Like, that's what these injuries, like, in a way, like a lot of these injuries and like the branch ejection are like great opportunities for these young guys and these up and comers to have a chance to really develop and get battle tested. And And, you know, like, Rakestraw, like, is a great guy to just remember we have. Like, I think the more they develop him, the better for the end of the season.
Definitely. And we still are getting Emmanuel Mosley back and things that there's in the secondary.
Dude, if he's coming back, I can't wait till he's back. I'm so excited. Like, maybe he'll just be the answer again for pass rush.
Maybe.
No, but we just let a couple guys go off. That's good. What, Smith and I can't remember who the other guy was. Two of our lesser players. But Zylstra now is he's either going to be on the roster or he's got to go back to the practice squad forever. But have you noticed Zylstra playing that much? But he's been playing over that
Brock, Hesse. Right? Hesse's gone.
The other guy, right? Hesse?
Yeah.
They cut Hesse.
Is he?
Right.
Well, see, there I'm just.
I think they did it to make bring all the D linemen up.
But
I think you're right.
They'll probably go back to practice.
On the offensive side of the ball, I just want to note as well that Allen Robinson had a catch in this game, so the Lions continue to bring these guys. Yeah, big catch. They continue to bring these guys up that just fit right into the puzzle pieces of this offense.
Seriously, it's a puzzle. See, that's like. The thing is, they're great at assembling the puzzle. Like, they're more than the sum of their parts, like, by such a massive amount.
But more again to what Goff is doing. I mean, Yeah, we're throwing these guys in there.
Complete command.
He's just gelling with everyone.
Complete command of this offense.
It's amazing. Complete.
It's really like anytime they have a negative play, it looks off. Like that's not, you know, we're just so used to seeing success lately when something bad happens. Just,
yeah, like our reverse that got paid up.
Yes, yes, yes.
The double reverse. Oh yeah.
Probably not a good time. Play it. I mean, they tried it, but they run it like once a week. I feel that play definitely did not work out that well that this time.
You know, I have to say though,
got to run with J-Mo. Got to run with J-Mo.
I think Tom Brady's becoming my favorite announcer. Like he's good at it, like you'd expect, and he just gushes over the Lions. So maybe that's my bias kicking in. But like, I mean, he's very informative. He knows like. You know, I think he's good. I mean, what would you expect from a guy like him but to excel? But and, you know, I agreed with him about that bullshit with freaking Branch getting injected.
Yeah, were people criticizing him because he's an owner? I missed all that hubbub.
No, not criticizing him. He faces financial repercussions as an owner for criticizing the officiating. Like, up to, like, a $500,000 fine, I've heard. Like,
if only he could afford it.
Yeah, I know, right?
But does that mean he's gonna? You can't criticize the refs as an announcer.
But the announcers aren't. Exactly. The interests kind of cross over there a little bit.
That's stupid.
Yeah, but he was talking as a player, and you know, he's
normal.
He feels like he's almost in the game sometimes. I think, and he sees that going. And it's not. He knows.
You know what? I'm really glad he's
kind of stuff happens.
I agree, UJ. I'm really glad he's an announcer now and not like 5 or 6 years ago and we just have to hear him be like, this organization, what the hell? This is great because we're
the Lions wouldn't be playing in a Tom Brady announced game, like the primetime slot 5 or 6 years
ago. Perfect. Because he's so complimentary of golf and everything. It's great.
I think we get him on Thanksgiving as well. Let me confirm that right now.
Mm.
Oh, no, that's CBS. Never mind. Tony Romo.
But he, like, truly appreciates how good this Lions team is. Like, every aspect of it, man.
I don't know if you guys saw the Saints fired their head coach today. That seems like a prime Aaron Glenn hiring.
Yeah, that was to bring up the conversation, like, how bad they dropped the ball with, like, letting Dan Campbell leave the building for one more year of Sean Payton. They could have just done the transfer of power.
Right? How about it? How about it? Sean Payton's doing a really good job with the Broncos, too.
Outstanding.
But, yeah, it makes a lot of sense for Aaron Glenn to go back there where he played a bunch of years. Anyways, I
thought that was an interesting note.
His name is already kind of connected to there right after the fire this morning.
The way he's coaching this defense, I think the offers will be abundant.
And do you know, so going around the rest, the Vikings beat the Colts. It was an ugly Sunday night football game, but they eked it out. Joe Flacco and the Colts, they just don't look good. I look forward to the Lions playing them later this year. So the Vikings still only 2 losses. They moved to 6-2. They're 1 game behind the Lions at the moment. And obviously the Packers is the Lions. And then the Bears. Oh, boy. My favorite team in the NFL. They moved to 4-4 after they played another team above 500. They got their ass kicked. My favorite play of the game was when they gave up a 60-yard touchdown run when the Cardinals were just running out the clock at the end of the first half. Just a delight to see. In addition to that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if did you guys see the video of DJ Moore? So Caleb, like it was like one of the first plays of the game. Caleb Williams is scrambling and DJ Moore. While the play is going on, just walks off the field. He's like, he's done running his route, and Caleb Williams is still scrambling around looking for a receiver. And DJ Moore just is like sitting on the bench pretty much while Caleb Williams is still running around looking for an open receiver.
Oh my.
It is.
I did not see that one.
Just an incredible video to see. And I love to see I love to see this constant collapse. I've gotten a lot of texts from people saying Ben Johnson will be the next head coach of the Bears. And I'm like, you know, I hope, first of all, I hope not. I really hope not. Second of all, I don't know if you want to go to that situation just because ownership is so bad. It's been so bad for so long. Like, when you're a head coach, you want to look for the best ownership situation possible. Also, they have, like, a very messed up stadium situation going on in the future. They still haven't approved any stadium plans yet. I'm not sure what the hell's going on. There's a lot of uncertainty around that organization. Right. They have a lot of cap space. They have some good talent. But I think he would rather go to, you know, whatever these jobs, probably the Jaguars, probably the Cowboys. There's some better options out there, I think, for him. And I, well, it's more, I hope, I think.
Yeah. I could actually see the Cowboys. Maybe. I could see Jerry Jones making a
I have some Cowboys fans in my life, too, that are begging for him to come there after seeing how bad their offense is.
I know he's saying nice things about McCarthy, but I think he's not the way they're playing.
So. UJ, anything else more about this game that you wanted to discuss?
No, it's just that we are really a good team, and we're not winning games like used to be when we win games. Like, oh my god. Please let us win, or we can win. We can maybe win this one. Oh, this team is going out and just beating everybody. Like, soundly, we are just the better team going into every game we play right now. And next week alone, we're 3.5-point favorites again in Houston. I mean, it's just, but I think everyone in the league sees it now, how good we are. All the talking heads and all the different shows, they all see it too. This team is just a really, really good
team. It's everything we thought about this team coming into the season. It's not like we're surprised.
They're brimming with confidence.
They're a team on a mission, talent. UJ. A team on a mission coaching. Since the loss in the NFC Championship game last year.
Yes. Absolutely.
And the Lions have the second hardest strength of schedule the rest of the way, UJ, too. So
doesn't matter. As Campbell would say, it doesn't matter. We play them in a parking lot. We'll play them in a freaking.
As far as the Lions' playoff chances, they're 7-1. The eighth seed right now is 4-4. So it's looking pretty good to at least make the playoffs at the very least. Now, obviously, we have bigger goals to attain to. We want that number one seed. The Washington Commanders are still hanging around as the two seed, and a lot of people picked them to finish last or bottom five in the NFL this year. It's pretty crazy what's going on there. They are. I mean, the quarterback's really fun to watch. The Falcons are 6-3. The Vikings and Eagles sit at 6-2.
Yes.
As the ones right behind. Eagles, they they're vulnerable. They collapse in the fourth quarter for some reason, but they come out strong in these games. But yeah, they'll be around.
Yeah.
They'll be around. They have a lot of talent on that team. A lot of talent. But the Lions are at their point differential this year is plus 110. It leads the NFL. Next closest is the Bills at plus 87. So they are far and above the best team right now in the NFL, I believe. As we speak, the Chiefs are losing 17-10 to the Bucks. The Bucks are going to beat like the two best teams in the NFL and barely make the playoffs or not even make the playoffs. What a strange team. and that's at Kansas City. That would have been that'd be two road victories for them if they pull this out. But anyways. Yeah, UJ, I mean this is really fun. Every week it's just fun coming on here reacting to another Lions victory one after another, or it's just becoming like a routine. It really is a delay watching this. There's one other guy I forgot to mention really quick too. I miss him in my notes here. Jack Fox. Booming punts in the elements, sets up the Packers for long field, flips the field in certain situations from punts inside our own 20. And Packers have a couple penalties on some of those punts that moves the ball back for them. But still, he flipped the field, and it played right into what our defense likes to do, like these long drives waiting for the other team to make a mistake. So another great special teams showing from Jack Fox and Lions special teams.
Yeah. And to his credit, Campbell doesn't fail to mention.
I don't give that man a game ball one week, huh?
Fox is just killing it right now.
Deserves it. But, and the Green Bay missed an easy field goal, and the Lions made their one. It was a chips out 27 yarder, but still, they made it. So, anyways.
Wait, did you say Green Bay sucks?
Yep.
I didn't, but I will say it.
Oh, I was. Amon-Ra
said it with his shirt when he walked in the stadium.
That was a little
love that.
On the
love that
bold side, one might say. maybe a little bit.
Yeah, we're,
you
I
know,
think we're
like,
getting
that
a little
would have been
tacky,
like when
just a little
when we wore those stupid ski masks with CJGJ last year, and then like let's see.
Did anybody wear just him?
Well, some people wore them. Well, there's some people buying in, but then we don't know who wore them.
Thank God that
Seahawks after they beat us that game and made us look like fools. You know, really him. I didn't like the trend to begin with. I don't know about this whole Green Bay sucks thing. I mean, they suck, but kind of a bold move there, but I'm on route.
Well, let's we'll wrap it up here. We want to first thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J. We're crushing it every single week. We greatly appreciate you, Kid J. Spotify, Apple, wherever your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. We greatly appreciate that. If you don't want to listen to the podcast, but want to see the podcast, you go on YouTube at DTBK_Lions, or just type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid and subscribe to our channel where we post a lot of videos. We have our producer, Kid J, has actually been making really cool shorts up there that I'm going to get a bunch of views to. People seem to like the shorts a lot. So go check those out.
They're short.
And other than that, you know, I just want to thank the Detroit Lions for giving us joy every single Sunday for 3.5 hours. Actually, it's more than that. It's more than 3.5 hours because it just bleeds into the rest of the night, into Monday, into Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So thank you. And thank you, of course, to our listeners, who we greatly appreciate sticking with us, especially if you make it to the end of these podcasts, then we really appreciate you.
You're the best.
The best is always at the end. You know that.
It is. All right. So we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.